This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
So what's wrong with you now?
When I can't do the podcast in the extension, I have to come into the lounge. And in the lounge, picture the scene, there's a corner sofa, which is obviously in the corner of the room.
Is that your casting couch?
Maybe. It's next to a windowsill, which has got a handy little overlap for me to put the old clamp on for the microphone. But crucially, next to the window is a vertical radiator right in the corner of the room. So it's fucking hot in this corner of the room anyway. And when I went to put the clamp on the windowsill, I fumbled it and it fell down the back of the sofa between the radiator, which goes all the way down to the skirting board, and behind the sofa. And I can just about reach things that get down there because my son drops the remote for the telly down there about six times a week. But like I say, crucially, this was between the radiator and the sofa. I didn't want to drag the whole sofa out because it's pretty big. It's got a sofa bed in it. So I was essentially having to stretch all the way down with my large arms, buffeting, to try and pick up this clamp with like my fingertips, like a pair of tweezers, but whilst having my arm and my face essentially pressed up against the radiator, which is raging hot, because I don't know how to turn it down. It was a bit like an endurance test, so I had to like try and get it, and if I couldn't get it after like 5 seconds and I started to like burn, I had to like pull away for, you know, to cool down and not burn, and then go again. It took me about 3 minutes to get it. It was awful.
This felt like an analogy of Wayne Hennessy trying to get up to make a second save after parrying a shot you should have held.
Yeah, but it was hotter. It was hotter.
Back of the chest. Coronavirus Self-Isolation Podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the Back of the Nest lockdown sessions. I think we're on episode 9 now. I mean, I've hit record and just recorded because I've got nothing else to talk about. So we might as well get your story in of...
Oh, that was part of the show. Good.
Yeah, it is now.
Good.
I mean, after last week, our levels are quite low. So a story about a radiator is probably where we're at now.
You know what? I was really concerned because like building up to today to do this podcast, I thought I'd better listen to... the Hambo podcast just to see what they covered off, and it was great. Like, really, they found so much to talk about football wise felt like a football podcast, and I was just like, well, they've covered off all the topics that we could possibly talk about. There's nothing else that's happened since then, so I'm at a loss.
But they're reviewing, they can just pick anything and review it, can't they?
They can, I suppose.
We can't we could preview football, I mean, but it would be pretty, you know, pretty loose because we don't know when football's coming back.
Yeah, I suppose what would the game be this weekend? I scambled to my kind of, so we'd be at home to Chelsea this weekend.
Oh, piece of piss, we'd win that.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I have had you see all these ideas of playing behind closed doors, ghost games, and all that. I've got a much better idea, but we need to. I don't know, get in contact with the club or Roy or whoever. So Roy names, and crucially, all players here have to be on preferably Twitter. So what was it this weekend? Chelsea, Palace, Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
So Palace name an 11. Chelsea name an 11. Was it a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So we announced the 11, all on Twitter. 3 o'clock. Let's say Christian Benteke puts, I'm kicking off. I'm passing it to James McArthur. James McArthur then tweets, right, taking a touch, passing it, squaring it off to Luca. Luca put, oh, fuck, I've lost the ball. Sorry, guys. Then a Chelsea player obviously be like, I've got it. Bearing down on whatever, check Kiarte, probably fill in at centre-half because everyone's injured. And just do that. And then, you know, oh, I've scored. Great. 1-0, whoever, Palace. Right, Chelsea kicking off now. Do it like
this
that.
This sounds like there was a Football Manager game on the Spectrum back in the day called United. And it was great. Like, you just, you started in Division 4. You could name your own team. You could call your players whatever you wanted to call them. And it was basically a lot of text-based with a very, like, 2D kind of situation going on, of the ball moving on the screen, and you'd see whether they'd score or not.
Okay, this is good.
Yeah, and that was all the text, just like that. So I don't know, Mike Scott was talking about a website with loads of old games on, so maybe you can search United out. But whenever I think about that game, we used to name our players after WWE wrestlers, or WWF as it was back then. And me and my friend Leo used to play it all the time. And his dad was Irish. And this is way back in the 80s, late 80s, remember. And Tatanka, the wrestler, had a shot. He was through on goal and he shot the wrong direction. To which I exclaimed, what is he, Irish? And my friend didn't take it too well. We fell out for a couple of days.
At Tammy Abraham 1. Smash front towards the top corner. Quote tweet. Guaita won. Saved it. Hashtag unlucky. Goal kick. See what I mean? It's exciting, isn't it?
It's quite exciting.
So not only did Guaita save it, but he then went out for a goal kick. So he even got the referee decision as well. Like,
because he didn't get a touch. He parried it and it came off. I don't know who plays on
William.
Come off William's stupid head. Went off.
But here's the thing. What if someone says,
don't pick holes in it. Don't come in here.
No. This is a genuine question.
Yeah.
At Christian Benteke.
Yeah.
Finally fucking done it. It's in 1-0. Hashtag LeBron or whatever his celebration is. What if
the silencer?
What if at Mike Dean then replies, gone to VAR?
Nah, Mike Dean's reffing another game this weekend.
And then at VAR says, at Christian Benteke, fuck off, offside.
Well, was it? Was it a correct decision? You can't tweet whilst VAR are reviewing it. Come on, man.
That's true.
Try and be sensible. If you're going to join in, do try and be sensible.
Well, listen, if the VAR account tells Benteke it's offside, then he's got to accept it, I suppose.
Exactly.
The VAR account could be like, if this tweet gets 1,000 likes in 2 minutes, he's offside.
By the way, you mentioned that you wanted to speak to Roy about this.
Yeah.
I would pay good money to see you sat opposite Roy, not only explaining the rules, but just explaining Twitter.
He can borrow my login. I don't mind. He can borrow that.
I can't do a Roy impression. Say what's a hashtag in a Roy
impression. What's a hashtag? Let's not take the piss here. I'm not Roy. I'm just trying to bring football back.
Let's not take the piss here.
Exactly.
Which one was Albert and which one wasn't Albert?
Get in contact with the show. Please.
it's a thing, I guess. I'd like to see the pitch.
Mate, bring it on. Who do I need to speak to?
At CEO for tag.
He'll be all over it. He'd probably charge a few quid, wouldn't he?
Right, so let's see what we've got going on here. Right, based on the last episode, Albert, Nick Gussett of This Parish has said he's got two questions for you. Well, one's more of a statement. You don't leave the fucking teabag in whilst you drink a hot beverage. What are you on?
Don't knock it till you've tried it, Nick Gussett. That's what I'd say to that.
I must confess, since that show, I have been making tea exactly how you make it.
Ooh, and?
The inch at the top has become half an inch. It's too much milk.
Fair enough. I'm not going to pull you up on that.
I'm behind the concept, though. I like it.
I did enjoy your WhatsApp messages to us, which, to start off with, were pictures of cups sort of balancing on a kettle, and then the next picture was the cup upside down on the tabletop. And then the last one was a feat of engineering genius, which involved pulleys, scaffolding, all sorts of kitchenware to keep the cup on the kettle.
Well, so Albert said he's an expert level tea maker, so he could balance his cup on the end of his kettle spout. So all of the steam went inside the cup, but didn't drip back onto the worktop, went back into the spout of the kettle. So the cup was nice and warm and remained warm for the 5 minutes of brewing time that he likes. So I thought I'd give this a go. I think the first one was a video of my cup just falling off at the top of the kettle and nearly smashing. So then I had to create something to hold it in place. So I believe they used a spatula and rested it against the cup and then against the backsplash, and it held it in place and it worked.
How is looking after your newborn baby dog?
Yeah, it's been all right. Can I open my beer first? I'm going to open my beer.
Oh yeah,
I've got a Rafiki Session IPA Villages. This has got 3.66 on Untappd, so
Does it taste like an old poon?
I don't know, I haven't opened it yet, but Anna, friend of the pod, she's said I've got a lot to live up to after talking some trash on Twitter, so.
Drinking some trash?
Oh, it's good, actually. But yeah, very nice. 4.3% brewed in Deptford. Shout out, Deptford. What you got, Heskiff?
What have I got? I've got another one of these Braybrook things because we ordered some more because I forgot to buy booze at the supermarket.
He's gone for craft beer now.
He's pulled a Yui on it. I can't believe it.
I know. It's a different thing. Hang on a minute. It's a New Zealand Pilsner, apparently. I don't know what that means.
Wasn't it a New Zealand Pilsner last time?
No, it was it was something else. It wasn't the New Zealand. It wasn't a Pilsner because this has got a blue label and the other one had a white one. I'm not quite as adept at picking apart beers as you are. One's got a blue label and one hasn't, is currently where I'm at.
Do you remember when Tesco used to do like Tesco Value vodka and gin, but it was just a white label with black writing?
What, in the same bottle? That sounds awesome.
Well, you're 2/5 of a way there to Long Island iced tea, but no, I don't think it was. It was in separate bottles. Yeah, they just had, and they had whiskey as well, I think. And literally all it just said was gin, vodka, whiskey, on a black writing on a white label before they changed their blue and white stripes. But yeah, anyway, what about you, Albert? What are you drinking?
Heineken.
What colour is the label?
There's no label. It's one of those little stubby cans with the slightly ribbed effect. It's green and silver. It says Heineken on it. Brewed with passion for quality. Right,
to bring it back to Terry's sort of level of beer.
Yeah.
This is primarily aimed at you, Albert, because I know that you'll feel the same as me. But friend of the pod, Anna, who asked the question just now, has put a couple of tweets up of her current collection of beer in her fridge.
So unreal.
I can't necessarily tell you the descriptions that Terry does, so I've only seen the front of the can, but would you like to hear the 6 flavours that she has of this beer?
I mean, I don't want to, but I have to say yes, because it'll probably make better listening, won't it? Go on.
Okay. First of all, Peach State, Peach Sour. So that's peach flavour beer. There's a raspberry sour.
That's from Tiny Rebel as well. Good brewery, that.
There's a Screwface Sicilian Lemon Super Soaker Sour.
Yes.
Is it Here Goes Nothing, G-O-S-E? Is that a beer thing?
Yeah.
If not, there's a typo in there, Can. Imperial Black Currant Pastry Goes. That's 8%.
Jesus.
And then the last two are, they look like cans of, like, Miranda or whatever. But it's Peaches and Cream IPA and a Jam Donut Pale Ale.
Listen, this sounds like...
Pump up the jam.
I'm not even... I mean, I'm obviously not making this up.
This, yeah, well, this is it. This sounds like it should be which one's not a real beer.
Yeah, all of them.
They all... all of them are real. That's the travesty here.
Travesty?
Peaches and Cream. I mean, surely it's just a beer.
Do we blame... I don't know if we blame friend of the show in law... Simon Phillips, who's going out of Havana because he's a big fruity beer, whatever these sort of beers are called, man, talking to me about marshmallow, stout, that sort of thing. I tune out if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. My friend Nick's into stouts heavily and he's always like, taste this 14% beer that costs £19 a can and it's rough. I'm not there yet.
If I sat here and said, I've got a can of Heineken, bear with me 1 minute. Just going to pop to the fridge and pour in some peach juice and a dash of cream.
Some peach Robinsons.
Yeah.
You'd call me a moron.
I've got a mango coolie here. I'm just going to...
Slap it on a can in a funky font. Everyone's all over it. And it tastes awful. Each to their own, though.
Awful.
Each to their own.
They could call that peach to their own. I should be a marketer.
Hey.
Come on.
I'll give you that one. That was pretty good.
I just asked Vanessa on Twitter, Sam's wife, for the non-regular listeners. I said, did Sam ask for the nice beers on reorder? And she said he reordered them himself. So he fully has someone at 180 here.
However, can you read the second half of that tweet? But mainly to keep from having to go out again. So what
you
could, really?
You could have ordered pastas.
You hero.
My fucking lady hero.
When do we go outside and clap for Hesketh?
How dare you.
So yeah, but this is good. Lockdown has converted Hesketh to good beers. Just you now, Albert.
Yeah, good luck with that. Drinking a good one. It's called Heineken.
In a short, stubby, ribbed for her pleasure can.
Yeah, I've got big ones as well.
not the ribbed kind though. Did they come big can ribbed? I don't know.
No, I think that's a smooth can. They're still in the box, not in the fridge yet.
What's you had an Indian takeaway down the road from your house that you liked? Is that still open?
Me?
Yeah.
The one that's a bit further away from my house that's amazing. Yeah, we had that on Tuesday. That was good. The one slightly up the road from my house is mildly suspect. They change their name about every 4 months. And they always tack something on. So it's like Bengali delight, Indian food, and pizza. Like, I'm not going there.
Is that like a chicken tikka on top of pizza? Or
I'm sure if you asked them nicely, they would bang one out for you. Yeah, rank. It's not very good.
And what did you go for?
I went chicken tikka, 8 pieces. Keep it simple. Keep it fresh now. Sag paneer, king prawn balti. Have you ever had mogo? Have you had garlic chili mogo before? It's like the little fried bits of cassava, like little gnarly, spicy, roast potato-y type things. Rice. Shit, we ordered a lot. There's only two of us. Now I'm reeling it off. It sounds awful. Peshwari naan. Don't like it, but it's... The wife likes a Peshwari.
You don't like Peshwari naan?
No. It's like eating a fucking hot cross bun with a curry.
I've gone through a pack of 6 hot cross buns this week.
Yeah, that's fine because they're hot cross buns. Were you dipping them in a korma sauce? No, you weren't.
I mean, if this lockdown goes on much longer, who knows what will be coming out?
What else is there? Onion bhajis, like the size of three of them, the size of cricket balls. I was still eating them yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah, so you couldn't have got all through all of this in one sitting between the two.
No. We got four meals out of it. Four servings out of it. So, you know, pays for itself almost. I mean, it doesn't. But, you know, it was good.
And what about you, Sam? Have you been ordering anything in? Any exciting culinary delights?
I've been cooking. Wacky beer. I've been ordering in wacky beer.
Wanky.
I heard wacky. Let's leave it there. I cooked a stew today. That was all right. It's not very exciting, but it tasted all right. I'm not getting excited about anything anymore.
I've been anymore.
It's 1987.
I'm working my way through perhaps my eighth packet of Maryland chocolate chip cookies. Gone through a fair few of them. But I've been cooking a lot of Gusto meals. The other day I cooked from, it was from Gusto. That's how I say I cooked. I followed a recipe, but it was like, it tasted like a restaurant quality, prawn noodle type dish. But very lots of like garlic and ginger and things like that. And Linda ate it. And for the next day and a half, the baby just was not having the breast milk in the slightest. It's just like, I'm not about it. And then did a lot of reading. Yeah, apparently you shouldn't really eat spicy food or garlicky food or stuff like that. So, and that all resulted into my first absolute, to the delight of Dan Cooper, no doubt, me being absolutely caked in shit for the first time.
Wonderful.
How did that happen? Was it bath time? Was it nappy change?
It was nappy change. And slide the new nappy in underneath the old one and unfasten it, take it down, clean around. And just as I was done, about to finish, little fart followed by a little bit of drippy poo. I was like, oh, okay.
You or the baby.
So then, finished, perfect. Close the nappy up, put it in a nappy bin, and about to put the next one on. And then it's a really like to kind of fart happens, and just a tiny, tiny bit of like brown juice comes out. And I'm quickly get a piece of cotton wool, like dab it in the water and just wipe it. I was like, sweet. And then like sort of like arch my head to look down, and just as I finished a swipe downwards, it was like a fountain just exploded. And thankfully it didn't hit me in the face, but it absolutely smothered anyone who remembers Leicester away in 2012, who was with me, and it turned out to be a freezing day, and I was only wearing a t-shirt, and I bought a cardigan from a charity shop. I was wearing that. So it wasn't the nicest piece of attire, but mind you, say it's a cardigan I still have 8 years later. So, but yeah, and literally from top to bottom, and then just instinctively I've moved. So then the last sprayings of it have gone all over the brand new rug in the nursery. So now it's just like a white rug with black polka dots, and now some brown polka dots as well have joined the party. And then Linda's just been winding me up for a couple of days now, because I've just been I was like, Linda, help. She's just crying for help from the nursery. So
you're on your own. Week three, so she was three weeks on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I have to say, I'm going to jinx it now. Touch wood. I've got a 5.5-year-old and an 11-month-old son, both Matt. Never, not once have I been shit on.
Not once.
Not once. Not by them anyway.
Not that you haven't paid for anyway.
Nah.
Those long 3-month stints on like shoots in the Czech Republic get really fruity, do they?
How much?
So technically you got shit on a little bit, went on my hand, the rest went on clothes and rugs. So hopefully not the first of many, but this was the morning before this happened. we had a health visitor over, and she said, oh, in the next like couple of weeks, you'll expect poos to dry up a bit. And then she might not poo for like a week, but then it'll be like a poonami. but it came, just came instantly. So
have you had an up the back yet? And up the backer.
No, so that's what I'm expecting from these ones that come in a few, when, you know, she's only having one a week. We had one sort of out the sides of the nappy. Heskov, is this why you're not having kids?
I have enough trouble cleaning up after myself, mate. I don't think I need anyone else doing it.
But yeah, if I, because of lockdown and not having a haircut or being bothered to trim my beard, like, if there was a super slow-mo, if VAR had a look, I reckon the fountain of shit probably missed my beard hair by millimetres.
Fintons. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, after this, I've got a pepperoni pasta bake to cook from Gusto after this. So
You seem to be getting all the Gusto recipes that I don't get.
Well, you pick what you want.
Yeah, but no. The wife picks what we want. Pepperoni pasta bake, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I did the other day. Linda, there was one, it's a spicy chicken one that with loads of lentils and freaky and stuff like that, and those are just the ones I don't like, but obviously now because Linda can't eat them, so I cooked two of those. They always went straight in the freezer for her later down the line. I was like, I'll have a pizza instead, thanks. But
don't work harder, work smarter. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Gusto. Shout out to Gusto. There are other delivery meal services available, I believe. But, you know, sounds like me and Albert are both Gusto fans. So take it at what you will. Heskov. You've been quiet for a while, so chime in.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
I've got to tell you, I've got nothing to say on delivered meals or babies shit. Unfortunately, I've got nothing to say. There was a segue that I could have joined in on earlier on when you mentioned WWE.
A bit about being shit on.
Yeah.
Yeah. when you mentioned wrestling, because before I came on, I was looking at wrestling t-shirts that I want to buy because I like wrestling. But we all know that I'm a dork. We don't need to talk about it much more than that. So
No, fair enough. Have you seen who Donald Trump's just appointed as an advisor to re-kickstart the economy?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Who?
Vince McMahon's wife, Linda McMahon, has been on his board of advisors of this, out of the other, for ages. But they just donated like $18.5 million as the super PAC or whatever they're called. And they've basically bribed, allegedly, inverted commas, whatever, they bribed the governor of Florida to say that wrestlers are essential workers, to sort of force the fact that they have to wrestle. And then yesterday, in the middle of a pandemic, they just fired a bunch of people who can't then go and get more wrestling jobs because there's no more wrestling.
The essential worker sounds like some sort of finishing move.
Yeah. It does.
It's like something like the IRS man would do. What was his name from back in the day?
His name is
Owen R. Scheister.
Oh.
Yeah. Whose son is a very good wrestler these days.
Called?
Bray Wyatt.
Huh. Not as good as IRS.
Nah, I mean, his real name is better. Although Bray Wyatt well, brazen noise a donkey makes, isn't it? So that's not a great, not a great name. His real name is Wyndham Rotunda. That's quite
what?
That's his real name.
His real name.
Wyndham Rotunda.
And he didn't go with that as his wrestling name.
He started off as Husky Harris, mate. So
Jesus, he's all out of whack.
He is. So that's my wrestling chat. I think we can leave that there. I don't think anyone.
What would that wrestling finishing move be?
The essential worker.
The essential worker.
Oh God, I don't know.
It's got to be something that takes between a 12 and 14 hour shift to actually pull off.
So it's just a really loose submission hold that basically 14 hours later, the bloke in it's just like, oh, fuck's sake, I give up. Let me go home.
Maybe it could be something to do with clapping, like just a sort of you have been tangoed kind of thing.
To be honest, I just want, after our discussion a couple of weeks ago, Albert, I just want Pardew to come back into areas of my life. And I think Pardew as a wrestler would be the way to go.
Oh, you're missing him now.
Yeah.
He'd be a manager, though, wouldn't he? He wouldn't be in the ring fighting.
He'd walk around the ring being an annoying little shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was the... I watched wrestling from probably the early to the mid-90s and had, like, old wrestling videos from, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
Who was the guy with... He was like a manager and he kind of had like dark exotic sunglasses, a bit of a mullet, maybe a moustache / goatee beard, and used to shout through a megaphone a lot.
Oh, Jimmy Hart?
Yeah, that's him. That's what Pards would be.
Yeah. A rascal suit, maybe a little dance when his client wins.
Yeah. distracting the referee. Are they called referees in wrestling?
They are called referees in wrestling.
Distracting the referee with a dance whilst his boy grabs at the bell or a chair to douche the other bloke in.
All right, then. Here's a question, because we've been talking for half an hour and I don't think we've mentioned football once.
Have we started recording yet?
Yeah.
If Palace had a Royal Rumble, so 30 people all in, managers, players, former players, whoever, Kayla the Eagle. Who do you think would be standing tall at the end of the Rumble?
Well, I saw a thing the other day where someone had done the hardest squads in the Premier League and we finished second only to Burnley. Like people could actually, if everyone had a fight, man to man, squad v squad. So we're just talking about if we throw our current squad, 25, into a ring, with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Who comes out winning? Well, I don't think it'd be Kayla because I think she'd just get distracted by some food in the distance and just fly out the ring. So Kayla could win. I mean, Roy Hodgson, would no one go near him? They just will have too much respect for him.
He's like a really shit Ric Flair.
Woo. Oh, so Shawn Michaels would just apologise and kick his head off.
Yeah, sorry. Do your Ric Flair, Roy Hodgson impression, Albert.
Wick Flair.
No, I didn't say that.
Woo.
I mean, it's nailed on. It's got to be him if he's Ric Flair. Although it could be like a sneaky little shitbag. Do we have sneaky little shitbags?
Yeah, James McCarthy.
Yeah,
James McCarthy would be in and about there, wouldn't he?
Like there's always one who like hides under the ring until like everyone's eliminated except one, and then he sort of scuttles in the ring and lobs a bloke out and wins himself.
Not sure.
I don't know if we've got anyone like that. Maybe PVA.
No, PVA would be, he's a flashy wrestler. He'd be there in the forefront.
Do you think he'd be like strutting to the ring?
Tossed out first.
Yeah, I was going to say,
straight away.
Walk into the ring, walk into the middle, get thrown out, and just carry on walking out the back door.
Well, it'd be like, I don't know, Connor Wickham just coming back from loan, just climbing out from underneath.
Yeah. He's quite strong.
It's a unit, yeah. But,
Yeah, but they all know he's got a dodgy knee, so they'd all
just
hit his knee with a chair or a ladder.
Yeah, I don't think James McCarthy would win. I think at some point it'd piss everyone off. And you know when they have those moments when they will team up on one person to get him out? That would happen to James McCarthy.
I'm not going anywhere near Sacco in this, just for the record. Surely he's got to be a contender.
Yeah, you can see when it gets down to the last two, him having that stare off with the person, because that always happens in Royal Rumble, doesn't
it? Yeah. I can see Parrish coming in. He's got the tan for it. So I think he'll come strutting down the ring in a suit. I don't think it'll last long, but he'll want to win.
I think Parrish is another hype man. I don't think he's getting in the ring. He's another what's his name? Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
Or a Paul Bearer.
R.I.P.
Oh, is he dead?
Unfortunately so, yeah.
Finally climbed into the urn.
he lived the gimmick until the very end.
So I think we're saying Mamadou Sakho will be left at the end.
That's who I'd put my money on.
And then probably at a moment it would probably be Jordan Ayew, wouldn't it? Fans' favourite.
Yeah, you've got to have the favourite in at the end.
Unlikely hero. And then it's got to end with Sakho losing against the odds in one of those sort of ducking, you know, he's running to charge, clothesline him over the ropes.
So, yeah, I reckon he'd be running towards him, head down, to try and get him with a mohawk, have him out of the ring. And then
is that his finishing move?
Yeah, the rhino. and then Ayew sort of slinks down, pulls the top rope over, and Sakho goes piling over the top.
Straight into Steve Parrish.
Straight into Steve Parrish. And then Ayew can get crowned Prince of the Ring. Right, there you go. Sorted, Jordan. Here it is.
I think this might be the first time in history that all listeners have switched off before the end of the podcast.
I think it probably is.
And some presenters.
No, that was Hesketh last week.
That
switched
was
off.
Me last week. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't listen to a single word you just said. Well, you know, it took me away from the question was going to be if your stew that you cooked, Hesketh, would be what Palace player describes your shoe best. So I think the Royal Rumble was better.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell, I couldn't answer that other question.
Jordan much?
Whoa, hang on. I mean, it's a bit better than that. It's got some seasoning in it, at least. but Andros Townsend, unremarkable, but everyone thinks it's all right.
Does a job.
Yeah, it does a job. There you go.
Yeah, it's got a future though in punditry, apparently. I keep hearing that a lot this week.
He seems like quite an intelligent bloke. I think he seems to have been, maybe not this week, but he seems to have been sort of a bit of a spokesman for professional footballers of late. Mm. Comes across quite well. I could see him in punditry, actually.
He can string more than like four sentences together. Which
yeah, it's
is
a good start.
Quite
isn't it?
Helpful.
If only you could string four passes together.
We should get him on this podcast.
well, before that comment, we might have had a chance. But
all right, okay. We've got a question from Twitter, and it says, best Palace goal that's been completely forgotten is never mentioned. So, for example, he says, this is Daniel Schilling, my choice is Neil Shipley's headed goal against Sunderland in the playoff semi-final, a great header. I mean, I absolutely have not forgotten that goal, Daniel Schilling. And I actually watched the full, there's like a half an hour highlights package on the Palace channel of that Sunderland playoff semi-final, both legs, which I watched the other day. But I guess we don't talk about Shipley goals anymore. So. go on, Hesketh, forgotten great Palace goal.
The goal that just popped into my head when you read that out was we had a game probably about 15 years ago against Stoke and we won 6-3 at home.
You're going to say Routledge, aren't you?
Routledge, yeah. He does like a little pirouette on the edge of the box and then just punts the ball in. That was really
cool. Tom Saw scored a great goal in that game as well, didn't he? Or did he do an assist? Didn't he like turn into Lionel Messi for about 10 seconds and just roast that whole team?
There were periods when Tom Saw looked like fucking really, really good. For like you're saying, for about 10 minutes in a game, and then for like 8 games in a row, he'd be completely ordinary. But yeah, that Routledge goal was really good. Michael Hughes scored that goal, and that's straight from kickoff, I think.
You know, the only thing that makes that Routledge goal any better and I'm not going to look now, but we'll be looking on YouTube for it. I think that might have been the last season review. I want to say DVD. It might have been a VHS. I can't remember. Yeah. The last season review compilation that I bought. I think my brother might have bought it even, actually. He'll give me shit if I take the credit for it. And on that, obviously on that video, they've not got like the official, sorry, they've not got like the commentary from whatever the, whether it was the Championship or fucking BBC, whatever would have covered it. It's like the Palace. They've got someone in to record some commentary for it.
It's Terry Byfield. It's got to be Terry Byfield.
No, but I don't think it's Byfield because it's somebody with a little bit more pizzazz.
And oh, yeah. I think Simon Jordan brought people in to do it instead of Byfield. I think Byfield are the earlier ones.
His microphone was too small, if you cast your mind back to that behind the scenes of that video. But at the moment of that Routledge pirouette, the guy obviously gets really excited and thinks, I'm going to spice this up here. And he screams, and it's a bit too loud into the microphone. It goes a bit pitchy. He shouts, "All aboard!" Into the...
Yeah, he absolutely does. Watched too much soccer AM, I'd imagine.
But it's a great goal. Doesn't take anything away from the goal. Have you said yours yet, Tel?
I'm thinking Aki Rialati against Wimbledon.
Oh,
I send that to my AFC Wimbledon mate at least 3 times a year.
Yeah,
because we were the away team as well, weren't we?
Yeah, were we? No, we were at home, I think.
Sure?
I feel like I was in the Homesdale.
I mean, yeah, we were at home. Don't get me wrong. But
no, I think I was in the Homesdale. I remember seeing it from behind. Yeah, I think we were at home.
I love that.
Yeah,
mine is probably, I think it was shortly before we faced them in the playoffs. The Friedman over the shoulder banger volley against Sunderland.
See, that's so funny because that was the other one I was thinking. That's
really?
Weird. Yeah, it was the other one, absolutely the other one I was thinking. Yeah.
Friday night game?
Yeah, it was a nighttime game for sure. What a goal. Unbelievable goal.
Unreal.
So, yeah, we were at home in that Wimbledon one. It was 4-0.
Take that, Mark Poom.
Yeah, in that highlight package, I was watching of the Sunderland playoff game, because obviously we played each other a few times that season, and by the end of it, they were all at each other's throats. And Julian Gray obviously gets sent off for a second yellow for tackling Jason McAteer. McAteer probably makes the most of it. And then Gray's fuming, and you just see McAteer just really sarcastically taking a piss out of Julian Gray's rage.
He's like going like, "Off you go, mate.
Off you go."
He's like nodding at the tunnel. Oh, what a wanker.
Yeah, and then he missed the penalty. Fucking have it. Yeah, mate. yeah. Did Julian Gray stay with us after that season? He didn't come to the Premier League with us, did he?
No, he went Birmingham, didn't he?
He came to Birmingham, I think, yeah.
Hmm. Yes, old Steve Bruce.
We had Vasilis Lakis.
Oh, goodness. And the infamous.
And Ivan Kavidis on the left.
Still have no idea how Lakis put that over against Arsenal.
Stop it.
Talking of Aki Rialati goals.
Yeah, I was going to say. There you go, we've spoken about some football.
Hooray.
Yeah,
any other contenders?
Any other contenders? Owen Garvin away at Preston. We lost 4-3.
No, I'm not having that.
Bangs a half volley in for about 30 yards in the top corner. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it's just, you know, I don't think you're allowed to remember goals that come in defeat. Andy Dorman scored a diving header from 20 yards in that game as well.
I would have said that the Dougie Freeman goal against Portsmouth, but I already mentioned that a couple of weeks ago on the pod, and someone very kindly tweeted back and confirmed my suspicion. So I feel like I've covered that one. But that was a goal and a half.
Yeah. I mean, there's been the Wolves, the 4-1 win at Wolves in the FA Cup quarter final that time.
Mm-hmm.
But that was all over Twitter the other day. So I guess those ones all getting stuck in the stanchion are pretty well remembered. Dean Gordon at Bolton away when we lost 5-2. him and Marcus Bent both scored crackers in that game, but we lost 5-2. So those tend to be forgotten. Do you not remember the day Gordon won? He calls off, I think Sasa Churchill tries to take control of the ball on the edge of the box, and Dean Gordon just running up, like with his waving him away with his hand before just letting fly into the top corner. Unbelievable goal.
I remember Tony Podfrey scored a banging own goal away at Portsmouth.
The scorpion kick?
Yeah. So not technically a goal for us, but definitely a goal worth mentioning, I think.
One to say that you were there, you know?
I mean, what?
The best own goal I ever scored was for us. We were losing 1-0 at home to Birmingham on a Tuesday.
Oh my God, I was just about to say that myself.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the White Horse back then, and I was like directly in the corner that the ball like nestled in when it like looped over from, it's like from the halfway line or something, wasn't it?
It is the most ridiculous goal ever, because we've not had a shot in this game. Like Birmingham have dicked all over us for 90 minutes, only managed to score one goal. And then in stoppage time, we punt the ball forward straight over our striker's head, and he's got no chance of getting it. And there's just two Birmingham centre-backs there, and one of them, they both sort of go for it, and one of them just volleys it clear, because basically as soon as it goes clear, the ref's going to blow his full-time whistle, but he just levers it into the back of his teammate, and it just loops over the goalie for about 30 yards, just goes in. It's just the most ridiculous thing ever. It's the absolute robbery. I'd say daylight robbery, but as I said, it was a Tuesday game, so summer's evening robbery or something like that. But yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a great own goal. I remember that one very well. God, who'd have thought it? 10 minutes on football.
There you go. And that's taken us to around the 45-minute mark, so I guess we should probably give it a rest there. Save some topics for next week. I think next week, Albert, I want to hear about your favourite movie of all time.
All right.
So have that prepared.
One that I've made?
No, not one that you've made, mate. No one wants to know.
Family. It's a family show, isn't it?
Clash of the Titans. And then, Heskey, if you can have your favourite album of all time.
Fine. Can do.
Fine. And, yeah. Right,
you
thanks for listening.
About your favourite craft beer of all time.
I've only been into craft beer for a couple of years, so I can't do that yet. Although it is probably Tropicana by Club Tropicana, or Club Tropica as it's called now. But
not only can you do it, you've done it at the end of this show.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I've got enough in-depth knowledge of the subject. It's only something that I've been into for a couple of years. So, you know, you're really into films. Heskey's really into music. So, you know, these are things that are lifelong passions. Craft Fair beer enough. Has not been a lifelong passion for me. It's like asking to name your favorite Palace 11, as they've been doing on the review show. It's just like next to impossible. Best I could probably name quite easily, but what my favorite is so difficult.
So if we're doing lifelong sort of obsessions, yeah. Albert should also do top three Troy Deeney goals. Have a think about that for next week, Albert.
No.
No, you can't have the own goal at Palace. Doesn't count. Yeah. Right, yeah, so thanks for listening. We'll be back for some reason next week as, you know, lockdown's been guaranteed for another 3 weeks at least. So we'll keep churning these out just for anything. It gives us three an opportunity to have a chat and have a laugh, break up the monotony of it all. Look out for the review show from Sunday for Chelsea.
What is your predictions for the Chelsea game?
Well, Pitch Sport have been running them on Football Manager, right? Are we sponsored by Pitch Sport or something? Yeah. Pitch Sport, our illustrious sponsor.
Right.
Brilliant. Look it up. You can add Hambo. Listen to the review show. You could become a friend with him somehow. But we lost 4-0 to Leicester in the last outing, so I'm not interested in that. That doesn't happen. We don't lose to Leicester, especially at their place. Come on. So, yeah, my prediction is that we'll lose 4-0 probably to Chelsea on that.
And what about on the Twitter one?
Is that not the same thing?
No, the one that where the 11 players are going to tweet about.
Well, if you can get one Palace player to sign up to it and do it, I reckon we'll win like 11-0.
Awesome. I'll take that.
Saying that, we'll still probably only win 1-0. There's only Palace players playing. Benteke shooting. Oh, skim the outside of the post. Bicycle kick into the side netting kind of scenario. But we're rambling. Can we just finish this? We'll be back next week. Look out for the review show on Sunday. And until then, up the Palace.
Back of the Chest, Coronavirus Self-Isolation Podcast.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.